I don't think anything will ever replace my love for skating. For more tips, naturesbounty.com, and I'll help you along.
We'll talk more about this because you got so much to say. That's fantastic. Thanks for being
wonderful.
With.
President Donald Trump is continuing to meet with governors at the White House. Much of the discussion and topic discussed was school safety. One of President Trump's ideas that he floated out there last week, at least a couple different times, was to arm teachers. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi joined Fox News to talk about her thoughts regarding this idea by President Trump.
You know, I think it's the way that it's been presented that every teacher's going to be handed a gun when they walk in the door. My whole family were teachers, and I wouldn't want them to carry a gun, nor would they. I think it would have to be very highly trained teachers, former military, former police. We have plenty of them in our schools, and people who have just an expert shooting ability.
President Donald Trump has said he will attend Reverend Billy Graham's funeral this Friday in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CPAC, President Donald Trump paid his respects to the evangelical Christian leader who died last week at the age of 99 in his North Carolina home. This is USA Radio News.
The Star Spangled Fish car emblem from Patriot Depot is inspired by the Christian values that uphold our great nation. The emblem is a symbolic reminder of the sacrifice Jesus made to save us and the sacrifices made by all the brave patriots who have kept the USA free from tyranny and oppression. You can show your support for Jesus and country with one beautifully colored Star Spangled Fish car emblem. Go to patriotdepot.com/fish emblem to get yours today. Use coupon code USARadio to save 10% off your entire order.
And now with a look at things going on around the world, here's USA Radio Network's UN correspondent, Luke Vargas.
The UN Security Council passed a resolution Saturday calling for a 30-day ceasefire across Syria. The council was racing to stop civilian deaths caused by the Assad government's assault on the Damascus suburb of Ghouta. The UN vote was repeatedly delayed as the Syrian government and Russia worked to add in specific language allowing operations against terrorists affiliated with the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda to continue. But less than 2 days after the resolution kicked in, the list of violations is already long and includes the very areas the international community was most concerned about. The Syrian government has now said its bombing of Ghouta is an anti-terror operation and will continue time and again in the seven-year Syrian civil war. Countering lawlessness with more laws never seems to work. And students of history will be wise to get used to the term Chinese President Xi Jinping. Xi is wrapping up the first of 2 5-year terms in office, and his re-election has never been in doubt. But over the weekend, China's Communist Party announced its intention to abolish term limits, clearing the way for Xi to stick around once his official term runs out in 2023. China needn't look back far for reminders about why those term limits existed. The country's leader in the 1980s, Deng Xiaoping, helped create what he called a retirement system, recommending term limits to stop the rise of leaders like Mao Zedong and the cult of personality that kept him in charge for 33 years. Luke Vargas, the United Nations.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Weather this afternoon, cloudy early, then becoming mostly sunny with a high near 53. Northeast wind around 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 28. Northwest wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 56. Calm wind becoming west 5 to 8 miles per hour in the morning. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 28. Southwest wind around 6 miles per hour becoming calm in the evening. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 56. Calm wind becoming southwest around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. And Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers between 8 p.m. and 1 a.m. mostly cloudy with a low around 35. Chance of precipitation is 20%.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and as someone once told me, which I thought was pretty cool, was there's no traffic jams and you're working out of your house, so, you know, but they don't know my house. I'm a slob. There's things all over, so there's a traffic jam once in a while. But anyway, what we do is we try to help people who either have a mental health issue or someone in their family who may have a mental health issue or someone they know or work with or something like that. And how we do this is in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we have what they call a family-to-family class, which is for families or someone, like I said, you know or care for or someone your neighbor or work with or whatever. And it's a 12-week course, and it's going to start actually March 14th in Flemington at 52 East Main Street at 7 o'clock. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to go. All you have to do is register. And it tries to tell the person taking the class what it's like to be the person with the illness. And they do this in various ways. They go over medications and the side effects of medications. They go over what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And, again, it's like to try to get the person to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have what they call a basics course, which is for families who have children under the age of 18 who have a mental health issue, and that's a six-week course. And again, everything we do is free. We have a support group that meets once a month, the third Thursday of every month, again at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to register for that, but you do have to register for the classes. You can just come, and everything is confidential, and you may meet people who are going through the same thing you are, or who have gone through it and, you know, are now being better with their lives. And today, the phone number. I forgot to give you the phone number. All right, if you need to reach out and get more information or anything like that or have questions, you can call 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24 hours a day, but we do have someone that checks it at least twice a day, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are very privileged today to have with us Verne Martin, and I said your name right too, didn't I? Verne is an Army veteran of about 22 years, and she is the co-director of the Vets Chat and Chew program. First off, Renee, I want to thank you for taking the time to come to Flemington and be on our show. I know you come from a distance, but I do appreciate it.
I appreciate it more than you do.
You know, you have to get closer to the mic.
Okay, no problem.
There you go. That's better. We met at the hospital in Flemington, the Hunterdon Medical Center, where they had a veterans fair.
Correct.
And we each had a table. And, you know, we started talking, and, right. You know, that's how we got to know each other.
Exactly.
A little bit anyway, not a lot, but a little bit. So if you could Would you explain exactly what Vets Chat and Chew is? How did it get started, and who came up with the idea, and how did they get the idea, and that sort of thing?
Okay. Again, thank you for inviting me. I truly appreciate it because it does help us get information out about our program, mm-hmm. and we can reach more people. Vets Chat and Chew was started back in 2012 by Ann Burns.
Okay.
What I love about the situation is that Ann is not a veteran, nor is she married to a veteran. She just happens to care about veterans. She was in the corporate world and decided, I'm going to do something different. And her different was coming up with Vets Chat and Chew. The program itself is geared toward helping veterans feel better. A lot of the veterans suffer with PTSD based on something they've experienced in the military. And studies have shown that if we eat better, cleaner, we have less chances of having anxiety, depression, and other health areas. Mm-hmm. So what we do is at Vets Chat and Chew, we have a professional chef that teaches the veterans how to prepare healthy meals, along with a nutritionist who is there as well. They prepare the meals in groups, and the program is open to all active duty of any branch of service, all veterans, and family members. We come together once a week, wherever the location is at, where we have the most requests for memberships.
You move it around then?
Yes. Okay. Right. As a matter of fact, we have one coming up in Metuchen from the 7th of March to the 11th of April. We had one last year in October in Garfield.
Okay.
So it just depends on where we get the request, and we'll find a place, go there, and set it up. The one thing I have to add, the one thing I love about this program, specifically the last class in Garfield, there were veterans there from all eras. We had a Korean War veteran.
Wow.
We had a Vietnam War veteran, World War II, and their spouses. We had Desert Storm. It gave them an opportunity to see that the issues are across
all
the
over.
Board.
Right.
Exactly. The same problems that their spouses were dealing with, you leave, they're left alone. That's just the way it is. I hate to say it, but that's the way it is. So Vets Chat and Chew brings a lot of life, a lot of networking, a lot of information to everyone that's involved. We have speakers come in. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be asking you to come and speak so you can share what you do because, again, PTSD is a part of our health. It's not who we are, but it is something that we have just like diabetes. So what you just explained, what your organization provides, I honestly feel can benefit the participants there.
Okay. I'm a little shocked.
We'll hold you to
how could I say on the air no? I mean, you know, I'd have to say yes, right? No, I feel very honored. I would be more than happy to.
Thank you.
Now, when you get a group of veterans like that together, what do they talk about? Because, you were saying World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and each is different, okay? The country looked at them differently.
Exactly.
The escapades or whatever you want to call it.
Yes,
I know how they looked at Vietnam, you know, with...
Not too good.
No, not too good.
Not at all.
And, you know, I understand how, you know, when the veterans came back from World War II, everybody embraced them. They
right.
were happy.
Right.
Korea was a little less, but still more than Vietnam.
Right.
And Desert Storm was great.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
When
yes.
you look at the comparison.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, when you get a group like that of the different branches, not so much the different branches of service, because
right.
it doesn't matter. You're a vet. You can talk to somebody. You
exactly.
know, your experience could be their experience.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're in the Air Force or the Navy or whatever.
Yes.
I couldn't go in the Navy. My father spent all his life underwater and he was born in Iowa. You know, you couldn't see water for 300 miles. But I get seasick on a... No, I don't take baths because I get seasick in a tub. I take showers. Tell Tracy. But I'm serious. I can't even go on a boat because I get... Ugh,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I never made it in the Navy. But anyway... So I was just curious, what do the vets talk about?
It depends. And I say that because we have speakers that come that inform the veterans about their benefits that they're eligible for. Health, medical, whatever the case may be. And what Ann does is, and I myself, we send out emails on any information pertaining to veterans. Okay. So when they get together, it's basically whatever they decide to talk about. We don't guide the discussion. We allow them to talk on their own. And the majority of the time lately, it's been mostly about eligibility and benefits. And some of them talk about, well, when I was in, that wasn't even available. Certain things that we have now, for instance, wellness centers for women,
right.
You know,
right.
Just different things. So it depends on the group, and we just allow them to chat and chew.
But you generally have a speaker each time?
We have a speaker that comes. We definitely want to have someone from eligibility because we have found that a lot of veterans leave the military not knowing what they're entitled to. Mm-hmm. So that benefits individual can really help them out. We have a nutritionist that comes at the very first class and then the second class that teaches relaxation techniques. So it depends on who we select. You know, we do have them that come on a regular basis, but we try not to overwhelm the group with speakers, mainly because it's mostly for cooking. So an hour and a half is spent for cooking, and the speakers have 20 minutes. To talk about whatever it is they need to discuss. Thank you.
Now, did you mention that they go home with a meal?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
They receive a $20 stipend.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And they go home with a bag of the groceries that they use to prepare their meals so they can duplicate the meals at home. This last class that we had in Garfield, some family members brought their children. And it was really amazing to watch the kids. They're not allowed in the kitchen, of course, for insurance reasons. But to watch the children eating these different meals that their parents were cooking, and then to come back the following week and those kids say, you know, Ms. Martin, that was really good what we had last week. You know, and so they're eating healthy themselves. So, yes, they do take the groceries home, and they prepare the meal again at home that they prepared at the session.
All right. Now, I've got to ask.
Yes.
You say you give them a $20 stipend for gas or whatever. Mm-hmm. Where does this money come from? Because you're talking about food that you're doing and, you know, all this. And, you know, and you've got a chef, I'm sure, well, he may be volunteering, but not, you know, or not, you know.
Right.
You've got a therapist or social worker or whatever she is, or he or she comes in. So I'm not, you know, how do you get this money?
Anne writes grants. She writes grants. So we survive off of grants and donations. As a matter of fact, because we are trying to put together something for veteran children, dependents. Rachel Ray has a program called Yum-O, based on only children.
Uh-huh.
And we did a video talking to her about it. And there, at the VFW where we were, there were pictures on the wall that all the children had drawn for the veterans.
Okay.
Rachel sent us $1,000. So wherever we can get the donations or whoever approves the grants, but that's where we get our funding.
Okay.
There's no salary.
I was just curious, right? You know.
There is no salary for Ann and myself. The salary is for the chef, the therapist, and the counselor. The speakers get nothing, and we get nothing. But
well, if
we
you have
get
me there,
our
I wouldn't
children.
Want anything anyway.
Okay, all right, thank you. I appreciate that. Honestly, for me, when I did go, I was really in a dark place, and I don't mind sharing that because sometimes we do shut down for whatever reason. This brought me out of the darkness. And when I first got involved, we were doing a session at the East Orange VA for inpatient males. These men had been roommates on the same ward and never spoke to one another. After two sessions, some found out they were from the same community back on the island. So it just brings people together, just a mere conversation, because they'll finally let their wall down because they realize they're in a safe environment.
Right. So, yeah, it's I'm sorry, go ahead.
So right now, is this only happening in New Jersey, or are there other states where you have this chatting to?
It's only in New Jersey, but I will tell you, I'm a veteran. I think big. I've never thought small. And I'm a part of an organization in New York that are basically all nurses, and they're interested in us doing one there. The problem is, if we go to, of course, wherever we go, we have to have the funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they are hopefully will be able to assist us with the funding. The different outreach that we go to, for instance, the Welcome Back Troops that they had at Lyons during the summer, people came from D.C., Pennsylvania, and when they stopped at the table, they were like, we need this where we are. But again, first it was only Ann, now it's just Ann and I, and we just do everything. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem driving to Pennsylvania, New York, you know, as long as it's close by, if we get the interest there.
Sure. Do you get any state funding? I know you said grants, but does any of it come from the state?
No.
Or the federal government?
No.
No.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
I got to ask, what are some of the meals that you cook?
Oh, wow.
Because
I will tell you.
I will tell you. I do a radio show after this with the Hunter Medical Center. And a couple weeks ago, I had a nutritionist on. And all the stuff you told me that was so great to eat, I can't stand. That's why my chest is now hanging over my belt, you know. But so I was just curious what kind of meals you cook up.
First off, we try to prepare meals that have no more than 5 ingredients. And the reason for that is I will get frustrated. I'm a veteran. I mean, okay, I'm in the kitchen. I have to prepare my meal. I don't want to have to deal with a bunch of items that I have to work with. So Ann tries to keep the ingredients down to 5. Now, that does not include salt, pepper, oil, things of that nature. But if there's a vegetable or the meat, we try to keep those ingredients to a minimum. And we have made anything from pizza using actually the pita bread.
Okay.
We've made pizzas. Pancakes with a stewed fruit to go on top of that. Smoothies. There's one that I just love. It's called Mexican street corn. Oh, my God. Okay, I'll have to move on. I can't dwell on that one because I'll just slide out of the chair. But it's...
You've got to explain. What is Mexican sweet
Mexican
corn?
Mexican street corn is a mixture of, believe it or not, mayonnaise, feta cheese, cilantro, lime juice, it's spread on the corn, you put the corn and let it roast, you pull it out, turn it over, and just keep doing it.
You're talking about an ear of corn.
An ear of corn,
okay.
Yes.
It sounds good, actually.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It does.
And a different, for instance, we're doing one that's parsley spaghetti or something like that, I think. It's new to me. Recipes are new to me, but they're just fantastic. So basically anything, you know, if we have someone in the group that's a vegan, we can also work with that.
Right.
We do a food survey prior to each session to get familiar with what they can and cannot eat, their allergies, things of that nature. And we try to work with them, and we normally do.
Okay.
So the food's a little out of the ordinary, a lot of it. It's not just basic.
No, it's not just
even
basic.
Though, right, you're using only a couple of ingredients. You've got some nice seasonings and things in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what we do is we also we reach out to different agencies. For instance, there's a spice that we use. I think it's Badia, and I've called them to let them know because we take pictures showing what we do and what we use. And I contacted them, and they sent us a case of their spices.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Acme was kind enough. They're providing water for us forever.
Oh, that's great.
Chobani, the yogurt, they sent us coupons. So we try to get assistance from whenever we can, sit down, get on the phone, make phone calls, and see, you know, this is what we do. Are you interested? And we've been pretty fortunate. More will always help, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think it would be hard to say no to a program like that.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you feel, or you see, actually, as some of the overwhelming difficulties that our vets face on a daily basis?
My observation would be, I'm not going to say entitlement. It's getting the veterans, in my opinion, to utilize the VA health system. In my opinion, again, I can only speak for myself, the VA health system is there to provide for our needs. And it goes farther than just medical. We have veterans that are homeless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
A lot of them are homeless.
Oh, yes.
And I did a paper when I was stationed in El Paso talking to homeless veterans. Their option was, I'd rather be out here than listening to someone's rules. I understand that, but at the same time, I'm looking at them just going without.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, right.
So I would honestly say the more veterans we can get enrolled in the health system, I think it would do a lot of benefit mentally and physically.
Okay.
Right now, we're working a round table to try and get more female veterans into the East Orange VA. Quite a few. There are 33,000 female veterans in Jersey, and very few of them use the VA system. Mm. So we're just trying to open up and get as many people involved as possible.
Why do you feel that is, that the few females don't use the system?
The females that we have had the roundtables with refuse to use the system because of military sexual trauma that they've experienced.
Okay.
And they feel uncomfortable going into, especially East Orange, and the director there, Vincent Amiti, is really listening to what we're explaining to him. We have a female who was diagnosed, she had a heart problem, but because the VA is set up on a male spectrum, they looked at her results as a male. She was misdiagnosed. She ended up having to have open heart surgery twice. So we're trying to get the VA to realize, hello, women are here too, and we need to get these women involved, but they should also feel safe. A woman should not have to be escorted through the lobby of a VA.
Right.
But they are because of the behavior of some of the people in the facility. So that's one of the things that we spoke about today, is making it safe. Make it a safe environment. And I can say it's not just New Jersey, because I moved from New York here. And one of my clients, unfortunately, had an MST problem while she was in the military. She finally got up the nerve to speak about it, and she went down to 23rd Street. And would you believe she was assaulted at 23rd Street, VA? So with these things, these different nightmares, and it's not every VA.
No.
I'm not going to say it's isolated, because I don't know, but I still say you should not have to go outside and spend the money that you make when you are entitled to the benefits at the VA. Just like any place else, it depends on who's sitting on the other side of the desk and what mood they're in. But that's everywhere. It's not just the VA.
Well, I told you what happened with me.
Exactly.
I went, 9-10 years ago to Lyons Hospital to get medical.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working a job, and I owned my own house, and they told me that I made too much money, so they wouldn't give me medical. I says, my 7-plus years in the service doesn't count. My tours overseas don't count. What am I missing here?
Right.
You know? It just ticked me off so bad.
Exactly.
I never went back.
And see I honestly see that as the problem. If I can get you to not come, hey, I've done my job.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. Right. Renee Martin is here, and I'm not stopping. You're going to move over and allow people to come in. We've earned this. We deserve it. We should not have to pay these outrageous amounts of money, especially for pharmacy, when we have a VA hospital with the same things that they have outside.
Right.
So, I'm sorry. I'm not going away. And I love a good fight.
Good for you. Tell me something. What did you do before you were in the service? And you mentioned something about nurses. Do you have any nurse training? Or
my very first job, I was one in Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. My very first job when I left home, I went to New York. My very first job was working at Bellevue Hospital.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know where that love is. Yeah. Working. I cannot do the medical stuff, but I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. My second job was a physical therapist at a nursing home. Mm-hmm. I love seniors, working with seniors. I'm also an inventor. Living in New York, I saw a lot of people in wheelchairs basically being ignored.
Right.
I got off the subway one day. There was a gentleman sitting outside of a bank on 125th Street. The temperature had to be about 7 degrees. He had icicles on his mustache. And, of course, I was drawn to him because I thought something was wrong. And he said, no, I'm fine. I'm waiting for the bank teller to come out because they did not have handicap access. So he was waiting for the teller to come out and help him. And I asked, do you mind if I wait with you? He said, no, not a problem. When she came out, my first question was, why can't he get inside to his money? Well, of course, she had an attitude because she had to come out and wait on him, and she took it out on me. I don't know. You have to go ask the president. So I took my councilman and explained it to him. He said, the building is grandfathered. I am so tired of hearing that. So you're telling me you can't go to Home Depot, buy a ramp, lay it on the ground, doing business hours, and pick it up at the end of the day. Same thing with what was Con Edison on 125th Street, a woman in a wheelchair. It's raining. She is circling in her wheelchair because she can't get in. There are two heavy doors.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got to her, I say, what do you need? She's trying to get in. I help her in. When I go in, I go straight to the information desk, and I ask the gentleman, who helps individuals in wheelchairs get in? Oh, the guard. I said, well, where's the guard?
Oh, he's
over
lunch.
There. No, he was at the other line. And no disrespect, I am very frank. I don't mean any harm to anyone, but I say it like it is. I said, okay, the guard is over there watching women's asses. I'm going to ask you again, who helps people in a wheelchair? Well, it's my job. Well, where were you? Oh, she had someone with her. That was me again. So he tells me no. So what I do, I go back to the same councilman, and I ask him, oh, the building's grandfather. I say, so you cannot go to Home Depot, buy a bell, stick it on the wall with some glue, run the wire inside so all the person has to do is ring the bell and they can get in. Simple fix. We were taught, give a solution to the problem. So I invented a wheelchair cover. Comes over, stops at the knees, doesn't interfere with the movement of your wheelchair or your wheels, and you're not getting soaking wet. You can take it off.
It's like an umbrella.
Exactly.
That's a what? Wow.
So those are the things that I enjoy doing, helping out anytime, anywhere.
Right.
Why do you feel that vets have a higher rate of divorce and unemployment and homelessness and suicide compared to civilian population?
Honestly, because of what we have experienced within the military. It is honestly because of our military experiences.
Well, I know some vets who are homeless and choose to be.
Right.
They want to be. They don't want to help. They don't want to live in the thing.
Right.
And no matter what you do or say to them, leave it alone, you know?
Right.
And you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, they're good people.
Yes.
And they choose to live homeless, you know.
They're tired of the red tape.
Right.
They don't want to go through it anymore.
Right. And they'd rather live in a cardboard box.
Under a bridge.
Under a bridge or someplace,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
I mean, get out of Miami and look under the bridge. Was it Route 5, I think it is.
Exactly.
Interstate 5. Mm-hmm. And you find more people under the bridge than you do in the town,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Very true. Very
you know?
True.
And I know that, unfortunately, there's been studies. And they've been another one just done recently again, that a lot of the vets that come out that have either PTSD or other problems
mm-hmm.
never saw combat.
Right.
And they attribute that to, in the military, everything is regimentated. You get up at such a time, you got to eat breakfast this time, you go exercise this time, you do this at this time, and you go to bed at this time. Now, when they get out, that's all out the window. Now, it's if they're married, they got a mortgage, or they got a apartment or rent, or they got kids, or they got a wife, and they got to get a job, and they got and all the pressure comes down, and they collapse.
Exactly.
Because they're not used to, over, if it was 2, 3, 4 years, having the regimentation that they had. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to go on a 3-mile run today, all right, well, boom, boom, you know, this, you know, that sort of thing. And, yeah, as you know, and I know, this is how it is, you know. But when you come out, it's totally different.
One thing I will add to that is you hear people saying frequently, when you go to the military, you're brainwashed. Okay. What they do is they prepare us to save our country.
Right.
And we have to be trained. As a drill sergeant, I had to break the soldiers down to build them back up.
Right.
The unfortunate part is when it's time to leave, they don't wash our brains. We just leave with everything, not knowing. Transition is more than just sitting down in classes, being told what you do when you get out of the military.
Right.
There's a lot more that has been done or seen or said to that person leaving than you're including in your out-processing process.
But having got discharged many, 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 many years ago, it has gotten a lot better now than when it was.
Most definitely.
Because I can tell you, you could have left Southeast Asia. There was only one place you'd be at that time. Mm-hmm. And 23 hours later, you were in San Francisco International Airport. And that was it. See ya.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there was no sit down with somebody and talk about what's going on now. You're going to be discharged. You know, blah, 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 blah. Nothing. Goodbye.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now at least there's a little bit that they try to do. I don't know that it's enough, but they do try a little bit better than they did.
And I will tell you, another thing that helps is the veterans like yourself that sit down and talk to these veterans that are coming out and let them know what their entitlements are, or that they can come and talk to you. You know, so that helps tremendously. At the East Orange VA, there's a gentleman by the name of Frank Armino. He is just everywhere. He is a Vietnam veteran. And he's the one that got it started. But all of these veterans get together at the theater at East Orange, and they're there to answer any questions from any era for any veteran. So it's basically just help out who we can, how we can, when and where.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that all this has to take place. Right. You know, I mean, here's people who go and put their life on the line every day to protect our country and our citizenship. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how true it is, but I'll just say 90% of the population don't even realize it.
Exactly.
You know?
It's true. It's very true.
And it's, you know, it's sad.
Yes.
You know, only recently has it been where people have come up and said, thank you for your service.
Yes.
Hey, never used to say that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Never. And there was many years where I wouldn't wear a hat or a shirt because I didn't want anybody even looking at me that way.
Especially if it said Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that was,
you know,
really
but I wouldn't,
popular.
You know, I wouldn't, you know, now I don't care. Now I wear them all, you know, but that's not the point. But, you know, now it's changed a little where people come up to me. I had a woman come up to me the other day. Oh, thank you for your service. I said, thank you for saying it. Mm-hmm. She says, oh, my son is a Marine. I says, well, thank him for his service, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it never used to be.
And we also need to thank the spouses that have stood by that veteran.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they have gone through it with us, and I do thank them because they're not forgotten.
Right, right. And, you know, it's sad because, like we were talking earlier, what happened to me when I went to go try to get medical or, you know, prescription. Now, if another vet does that, what's he going to do? He's going to sit to hell with it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like I did.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's happening.
And never get it.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And that makes them happy, I guess, but it makes me unhappy.
Exactly.
I mean, I was lucky. I had medical insurance.
Right.
I only
right.
wanted it in case, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a secondary. But now I have a secondary and cut a Medicare, and I don't care. I don't,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
they can keep it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's not the point. The point is I'm entitled to it.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I should have it, but they said no.
Right.
I made too much money. Really? What did that have to do with anything?
What about the service that you provide?
Right.
Right.
I don't know. I just...
Here's my question. When a vet comes home nowadays, does anyone reach out to that vet, or is it more... The vet has to reach out to someone else for help. There's nothing automatic?
Not really, no.
Mm-hmm.
The veteran has to kind of go for what they have earned. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Going back to the East Arm situation with the veterans,
yeah.
there were three veterans there. One was in Desert Storm that had shrapnel. Another had a brain problem, and the other had knee problems. And I spoke to him. Each one of them. The guy with the brain problem, he said that he was filing a claim, and he was told, your illness is not service-connected. And I told him, don't let anyone tell you what you're experiencing is not service-connected.
Right.
They did not walk in your boots. They were not in your foxhole. I said, go home, find a quiet space. I'm letting you know now it is not going to be pleasant. But go home and relive where you were, what you did. Think about it. This was on a Thursday. When I saw him the following week, when I saw him that Thursday, he ran up to me and gave me a hug. Miss Martin, I'm like, what? He said, I have a traumatic brain injury and it's in my records and I forgot about it. I said, but see, that person told you what you have is not connected to the military
right.
service.
Right.
The other guy with the problems, I said, when I joined, I ran in boots on the concrete. Well, I did too. Think about what you did in the military. You have earned this. This kid with shrapnel just got angry. And when his time was up, he left. You're entitled to benefits. But none of these guys, they were so angry, and I was angry when I left as well. Don't even ask me to go on base. Because you're basically cursing me out. That is how much I wanted to get away
yeah.
from it. You know, but we have to get past that. So it's hard because the veteran has to reach out. They have to enroll into the veteran system in order to get what they're entitled to and fight for it. Don't give up.
Right.
Fight for it.
It seems a shame. That
it is a shame.
Just
you
nothing.
Know.
You have to depend on private everything.
Exactly.
But yet
yes.
they fought for the government.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is there a maximum number of participants that can take place in your chat and chew?
We try to have no more than 18.
Okay.
That's
including family and if they come?
Well, yes.
Right.
A total of
18.
Yes, total
okay.
of 18. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I understand that your program, how do I word it, is not only a food program. But a support system.
Yes, it is.
Would you explain that?
Okay.
You can read if you want to.
I will. All right. As you said before about statistics showing different things with
mm-hmm.
the veterans, it has statistics have shown that the veteran have more proportionate high rates with divorce, as you said. And it doesn't have to be like this. It comes from the poor eating, the mental and physical deterioration that we've experienced in the community, within the military
mm-hmm.
community. If we eat better, we feel better. If we're around people with similar issues, I know I'm not by myself. And that's one thing that Vets Chat and Chew shows. It gives people across all eras of military service an opportunity to see someone that looks like them, that's experiencing the same thing as they are. As I said earlier, a spouse is there that was a Vietnam vet
mm-hmm.
wife, and there's a wife here that's the spouse of a soldier that has been to Iraq twice. So across the board, they see that it's the same thing, and now I don't feel so bad. I know I'm not the only one. The military
right.
is a big organization. But it's different when I'm sitting right across from someone that has experienced the same thing. I can touch them. They can explain to me how they dealt with it or give me some guidance. So that's what I love about it, because now they're getting actually the advice of someone like yourself that was a part of Vietnam, that came back to being spit on and all these other horrific things. So now they're speaking to someone that has experienced that. So it helps them to understand and feel a lot better.
Yes.
So I love Vets Chat and Chew. In my opinion, it saves lives. As a matter of fact, in Garfield, one of the individuals bought his, I believe it's not a health coach, but she basically goes to a lot of places with him.
Okay.
And she was a part of the class. And at first he was very, you know, very out of it. But he began to relax and let that wall down gradually, because he realized, first of all, you're not in a hostile environment. You're in a safe
right.
environment.
Right.
So it's, I love it. I really love it. And I see it saving lives.
Yeah, sure. And you have, what is it, 6 weeks?
Yes, uh-huh. 6 weeks.
And then afterwards, do people often form friendships and keep
some
up
do,
their,
yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is you can come back again. Uh-huh. It's not a one-time.
Oh, okay.
You can
okay.
come back as many times as you want.
Okay.
Which is great. And we ask that you spread the word. We ask that you fill out an evaluation, because we try to submit that when Ann submits grants. Uh-huh. To show exactly the interest.
And what are some of the programs that you try to turn them on to?
We have had people to come and speak about different things, from education, school, security, meaning mm-hmm. If you want to get into the security field, so jobs, I should
right,
say.
Right, right.
Just different things.
Okay.
You know, we have speakers coming from just about every
okay.
neck of the woods.
Okay. And you determined, I guess, I don't know if I touched this or not before, but you determined that healthy eating helps combat some of the issues you mentioned.
Yes, yes.
And you yes. researched that, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Ann is the one that has done all the research, and working with the nutritionists has helped in that field.
Okay.
Yeah, because the nutritionist, of course, has to do that. As a matter of fact, at this course we're having that's starting, the health coach is going to come and work with us. Also, I'm lucky enough to say that our chef is trained in nutrition. She's trained on how to give relaxation techniques.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just fantastic.
You get a massage with your meal.
I know. She and her students work with Robert Wood Johnson.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're fortunate. We are really, really fortunate to have the connections that we have with the people that are there. And that's really why I like to spread the word about Vets Chat and Chew and try and get more people to donate, help out. Because, you know, the more we get in, the more people we can help.
Right. Do the vets help cook?
They're cooking.
Oh, okay.
They are the
The
ones
chef
that
helps.
They learn the chef.
They
that
learn
night,
how to
and
do
then
that.
They go home and do it again.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Right.
Yes, the chefs help them prepare the meal.
Okay.
They work as a team. And you, for instance, the one, if there's a vegetarian there.
Right.
Everyone will help prepare that meal and will get an opportunity to sample it. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a basic sharing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
tell us about how people can find out more through a website, a phone number, and so forth.
The website is Vets Chat and Chew.
Okay. .com, .org.
.org, my apologies.
Chat and Chew.
Vets Chat and Chew, one word.
Right.
.org.
Okay.
And the telephone number that we can be reached at is
201-592-1130.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, I'm going to repeat that, 201-592-1130.
And an email is, again, vetschatandchew, one word, .com.
Okay, chew. Wait a minute. I don't think vetschatandchew.com. Shouldn't it be at something?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
That's
you.
Okay.
At gmail.com.
Chat and Chew.
That's Chat and Chew.
At gmail.
At gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're headquartered where exactly?
The office is in Fort Lee.
Okay, right, right.
The office is in Fort Lee.
Okay, let's talk about that next one coming up again, because I'm sure you...
Yes.
I assume you still have openings for the one starting on March
7th? Well, Ann called me to let me know we have one another person. So right now we're full.
Oh,
but people can still call.
Okay.
Sometimes people have a tendency to drop out for whatever reason. But also we want people to still call for the next session.
Right.
You know...
Any idea when that'll be? Will that be in May? Or?
We're looking to maybe probably have one in June.
June,
yes.
Okay.
I'm also trying to reach out to people at Fort Dix, because I would really like to go to Fort Dix and have one there on the base itself for the soldiers there.
Active duty, you mean?
Yes.
Hmm.
That would be a little difficult to keep 18, though, wouldn't it?
Well, no. I would keep 18 and just do it again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would just do it again.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you know,
it's hard.
quite a large population at Fort Dix.
Yes. And also, we're going to Rutgers to work over there with a couple, with an organization, the LGBTQ military women.
Right.
We're going to meet with the director over there to also provide one for them. This program was actually initially created for women.
Oh, okay.
It was initially created for women. And... Anne submitted a grant, and it was turned down because she was told, no, you don't have any men in there. So she rewrote it, started a program for men only, and two men signed up. So she opened it up to women, and we had 20.
And what is it now? What's your ratio now?
Right now, it's everyone.
Okay.
Male, female, spouses.
Well, that's good, though.
Yes, it is. It's very good, yes.
You know, because that opens it up to just about everybody.
Yes.
You know.
But we do have a selection. If there's a group of men that just want to come, for instance, at the VA for the inpatient males.
Okay.
So that's all males.
Okay.
If you have MST women that just want to be there for themselves, we set a class up just for them. We'll have women counselors, a female chef, a female nutritionist. So we try to.
You might want to explain what MST means.
MST is military sexual trauma.
Right. Just so the public knows.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. So
you and I know, but maybe the public doesn't.
And you're absolutely right. So we, again, it's a safe environment. And this is only for women that have experienced MST.
Mm-hmm.
There are no men whatsoever.
Right.
Because we want them to feel comfortable.
Sure.
And we're also careful where we have the sessions at. There has to be parking. And the kitchen has to be able to hold at least 18 people, including the chef.
Yeah, so that's got to be
a pretty big kitchen.
That's a pretty good big kitchen.
Okay.
You know, so that would limit, I think, where you would be able to hold it.
I spoke at the Knights of Columbus last month, and their kitchen is extremely small.
Mm.
But after I explained what we do, at least 5 people, to include the priest that was there, Monsignor, offered for their church to host it. I love Vets Chat and Chew.
I love
Vets, because the more we get out and talk to people, the more we find that people are interested and would like to support us in any way they can.
Right.
So,
and it saved lives. I love when you said that.
Yes, it does. It really does.
We got about 2 minutes left.
Yes.
Went through it real quick. Is there anything you'd like to say before the last 2 minutes that we may not have covered?
Honestly, we've covered a lot, and I can't think of anything else. I would just like to thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to come and speak about Vets Chat.
Well, you can come back anytime. We'll let you
come
back.
Not a problem, because I can seriously say it really does. I'm speaking from my own experience. It helps.
Right.
And it helps because I need to lose weight. So I can't teach a class and I'm rolling around on the floor. So I have to remain consistent. And if I'm consistent with how I eat and what I eat, if I can back away from Haagen-Dazs and go and get a smoothie, which gives me the same sweetness that Haagen-Dazs does, you know, I'm getting a lot healthier.
And so the smoothie's got kale in it or something?
Yes. Kale, peaches, bananas, blueberries.
Okay. I'll get hungry here. The phone number, 201 592-1130.
Yes. Correct.
And why don't you give the email and Facebook and all that jazz again?
The email address again is vetschatandchew@gmail.com.
Okay.
The website is www.vetschatandchew.com. I believe I said .org before. I apologize.
Oh,
it is .com. Yes.
Okay.
And we also have a Facebook page. Please look at our Facebook page. You can go on there. We have videos of different classes that we've done. You can see what we do, how we do it. So, again, a lot of fun.
Well, I seriously mean it when I say we want to have you back again.
A pleasure.
We will be in touch. And we thank you for taking the time to come out and all that you do. I mean, because what you're doing is very helpful to a lot of vets.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you
for your service. And
yes.
Thank you for what you do.
And
yes.
We will be here same time, same station next week. And don't forget, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care,